Good morning, everyone. My name's Dave, and welcome to Insights for Health, brought to you by The Healthy Habit at 451 St. Clair Street in Chatham. Our guest today is Darren Wright. Darren has over 30 years' experience in our Canadian natural health industry and is a co-founder of Gordian Health Products, the company behind research-based supplement brand Certified Naturals. Good morning, Darren, and welcome to Insights for Health.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having me.
Quercetin has a broad range of health benefits.
Indeed it does. It's a natural substance that they're continually finding new benefits for, but it certainly has been recognized for its antiviral, anti-inflammatory, antioxidant, antihistamine, and anti-aging properties. A lot of potential benefits.
I'm going to guess that probably most of the audience hasn't even heard of what quercetin is. Can you give us a description?
Quercetin go under a few categories. It is a polyphenol. It is also a flavonoid, specifically it's a flavanol within the flavonoid family. But basically, you could consider it a defense mechanism for a plant. And we often find quercetin in many different plants, often as the pigment in plants. But it does have a lot of benefits for the growth of the plant and the natural defense of the plant.
So it's that defensive mechanism that we're benefiting from when we consume it.
Exactly. It's a defense for the plant, and when consumed by us, could be defense for ourselves.
So we're able to get quercetin naturally?
Yes, actually, there's not a big problem getting quercetin in our diet. You find it in many of the plants that we consume, apples, onions, capers are particularly rich in quercetin, berries, peppers, nuts, tea. So we find it in a lot of the common foods we eat. So people do get it, but they don't get much of it. Typically, they only get about 14 milligrams a day of quercetin, which is good, but not enough to get many of the benefits of quercetin. Part of the problem is the poor absorption that we get from quercetin. It's estimated that we only get about 1 or 2% of what we consume actually gets into our bloodstream. And that's where we need it to get around to the body for anti-inflammatory and all those other benefits we talked about. So certainly your average diet is not going to give you enough.
So is there an ideal amount that we should be aiming for?
Typically with supplements you'll see amounts like 500 milligrams is typical. There isn't a recommended daily intake like there is for many vitamins, but that's a typical amount that you'll see. But the challenge there is even when taken in a supplement at a high dose, like 500 milligrams versus what we talked about for daily consumption being 14 milligrams, you know, people that intake those supplements are still not absorbing much of that quercetin.
If it has a poor absorption rate at 500 milligrams, 1% is 5 milligrams, and if we're only consuming 14 on an average, man, that's fractional.
It is, yeah. But there are still noted benefits from taking your average quercetin supplement. The question is, how can we improve that?
So in order to get it into the bloodstream, what is it that makes your quercetin different from the average quercetin?
So the quercetin that we've selected for Certified Naturals, it has a brand name. It's called QuercetiFit. And QuercetiFit is what's known as a phytosome. And the company that developed phytosomes, they're an Italian company. They've been around for over 100 years now, and they've been specializing in natural extracts for all that period. But in the last 20 years, they've developed ingredients called phytosomes, where they look at ingredients with a lot of medicinal potential, but are poorly absorbed. So they've looked at other polyphenols, such as curcumin and boswellia, and oftentimes with those types of ingredients, you'll see some of the preclinical studies, there's very promising results, but when they actually go to placebo-controlled studies, they're not always able to get the benefits that they projected from those preclinical. So the challenge is how to make it better absorbed. And really, this company from Italy, Indina, what they found is by combining quercetin with lecithin and complexing it in a way, they're not just added together and mixed, they're actually complexed together through a proprietary process. They found that by taking that plant material together with lecithin, which is also a plant material, it's really a plant fat, that having that fat as a carrier really impacts the absorption and improves the potential efficacy of that plant nutrient.
Quercetin can be a little bit sensitive to water.
It can be sensitive, and it's also its solubility is very poor in water, and that's one of the initial reasons that we don't absorb much quercetin. So once we're able to deal with that, put it together with the plant fat, so it's going to be soluble, then the other challenge is how to get it across the cell membrane. The cell membrane in our body is quite similar to lecithin. When you complex quercetin as a phytosome with lecithin, it's almost acting like a Trojan horse effect, where instead of quercetin trying to inefficiently pass through the cell membrane, you now have lecithin as the carrier. So it's sneaking that quercetin through the cell membrane into the bloodstream, and they found that you can get many times the absorption of quercetin when taken this way.
Where they talk about the Mediterranean diet and the olive oil, the absorption rate of all those nutrients being far greater than, let's say, a North American diet.
Exactly right, Dave. And that's what they based this technology on. It's really using the same principles. They take a nutrient. They don't change the nutrient at all from what you find in nature. They're not extracting a very specific part. You're getting the whole food element of that material. But you're taking it together with fats. And that's a well-known way to increase absorption of nutrients. The difference here is you don't have to take the supplement, have a fat-heavy food together with it at the same time. It's all in the capsule already.
Do we take it by itself? Do we consume it with a food?
Still good to take with food, and that's what we recommend on the bottle. But what they found in clinical studies, they've had patients take regular quercetin, and they've had another group of patients take quercetin, 500 milligrams, that same type of dose we talked about as a regular daily dose of quercetin, and then they've had blood drawn to see how much quercetin actually ends up in the bloodstream and monitor it over a 24-hour period. When they compared taking 500 milligrams from quercetin, which is the complex material with lecithin, they found that those patients taking the quercetin had 20 times more quercetin in the blood than the control group taking the straight quercetin. Ultimately, what you want is a higher medicinal dose of quercetin in the bloodstream so that it can go to the organs to do all the good work that it does in our body, such as anti-inflammatory, antiviral.
So going back to all those benefits again, antihistamine, anti-aging, the physical performance, reducing infection, and so on. So one of the studies that was conducted was its viral infection prevention and recovery. Can you explain some of the findings that you discovered in that study?
Well, it's interesting. It wasn't just one study. They did a series of three studies, and it was done around the outbreak of the COVID-19. Virus that happened. So three different studies, and I will note that these studies were done at higher amounts than we recommend taking on a daily basis, so certainly you should talk to your health professional if you're taking anything beyond what is on the label. Our label would say 250 milligrams, which would be one capsule, to 500 milligrams a day, which would be two capsules. in the first study they did it with 1,000 milligrams. So it was a higher amount, and it was during the early period of the outbreak. So it was not placebo-controlled. What they did was they had outpatients who had still some mild symptoms, but they were able to go home from the hospital. They were taking 1,000 milligrams a day of CorsaFit. And there was two groups. One group was just doing standard care, so they were taking your typical analgesics, antibiotics, oral steroids, whatever was recommended by the doctors. And the second group was taking that same standard care, but in addition, they were taking the 1,000 milligrams of CorsaFit. And what they found was, over the 30 days with the outpatients, that those taking the standard care plus the CorsaFit had a 68% reduced need for hospitalization. The length of time anyone that had to go in the hospital was 77% reduced. There was a 93% lower chance to have to go on invasive oxygen therapy or intubation, and none of the CorsaFit group advanced to intensive care unit.
Those are big numbers.
And then they followed it up with another study. They wanted to see, okay, how does CorsaFit do as far as virus clearance? And it was a larger amount again, so this was a two-week study where the first week was 1,500 milligrams, quite a large amount, and the second week was 1,000 milligrams. And again, they did it without patients with mild virus. And what they saw was improved symptoms over that period for the group that was taking the CorsaFit. And in terms of recovery, they saw that with PCR testing, there was 73% recovery versus 10% recovery in the standard care group. So much better chance of testing negative. And then for overall symptoms, 57% saw benefits within 1 week versus only 19% in the standard care. And actually, both groups were taking standard care, but one group was taking the CorsaFit, and they were seeing quicker clearance of the virus.
And you said there was a third study?
The third study was more preventative, and here they were actually able to do a placebo-controlled study. So they wanted to see how it was for prevention. So for frontline care workers, who of course are going to be the ones exposed most to viruses, they wanted to see if they were taking a more reduced regular amount, which was 500 milligrams a day, they were to take it for 3 months, and then they would analyze them for a full 5 months. So some of that period they were not supplementing, so just those first 3 months. And overall they found that there was a 75% lower infection rate in the CorsaFit group. Anyone that did get the virus had 53% faster recovery than the placebo.
Well, those are excellent numbers.
They really are promising. Of course, there's more studies to be done on this. There was some initial findings that had come out about quercetin in general, and then it was nice that they were able to use this particular material to do some further studies and give some backup that there is some potential for viral infection.
Darren, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, let's continue our conversation regarding quercetin and some further studies that were made.